Thank you for joining our Transform 365 podcast, a discipleship and teaching ministry of SWCC. We pray this teaching helps you to grow in your journey with Christ. We have some great resources available for you on transform365.com webpage. Feel free to download discipleship materials, small group teaching, as well as peruse our training workshops. Also take time to visit www.swcc.org for videos, teaching, and more. We thank you for listening and your support, and we would love to hear from you. So use our contact page and drop us a line. Now, for our podcast teaching.
But today, we are going to be looking at what's called the fruit of falseness in Matthew chapter 7. Just recently, Justin Bieber, you guys know who that is? No, not at all, right? None of you guys are Bieberites or whatever they call themselves. I forget what they call them. Beliebers, right? Yeah, you're Beliebers. But recently, Justin Bieber made headlines because he had refused to be ordained in the church he had attended. They wanted to make him a pastor. Now, if you don't know Justin Bieber, he recently trusted Christ as Savior about 3 or 4 years ago in a small Bible church that he kind of just wandered into. And he's been attending a big church up in New York. And so this church wanted to lay hands on him and make him an ordained minister of their church. But he came out, he quit going to the church. He said that he didn't believe that he was ready or anywhere near ready to start leading others in their personal relationship with Christ, which you got to applaud the guy, at least recognizing that he was not at that point in his own growth. And then he said that he didn't believe that everybody was ready and should be just willy-nilly ordained, and said, in fact, he came out and he blasted his former church and said, "I personally don't think that a lot of the pastors that go to that church and teach at that church should be ordained either." Well, after saying that, two of the pastors of Hillsong New York stepped down because of issues that came out of them drinking and doing drugs and partying and things of that nature. But if you looked at the church on the facial recognition of it, who are they praising on Sundays? Well, they're praising Jesus. If you looked at the capacity in the parking lot as you drove in, it would have been no parking, right? If you would have come into the church, it would have been hard to find seating. So according to the recognition, the eye test, the litmus test of today, that church is full of fruit, right? Now, denomination or your own personal preference, let's lay those aside. Because there's plenty of churches. You look at pastors that have, you know, fallen recently. We have Mark Driscoll. And I'm just going to name ones that you could read in the newspaper, okay? I don't want to call anybody out that hasn't already been called out. And they know. These guys admit their sin, okay? Mark Driscoll, he was known as the cursing pastor. He recently stepped down because of what was marked as improprieties. Bob Coy, Bill Hybels, Bill Gaithard, Ravi Zacharias, after he passed away, all this craziness came out of him assaulting women. Tony Campolo, his son, Bart Campolo, was being prepared to step into his dad's position, okay, as one of the biggest Baptist preachers up in New York or wherever it is that he is. He stepped down just suddenly and said, "I'm no longer Christian, I'm an atheist, and I've never believed this stuff." But if you looked, again, at the church, at the fruit, at what they were saying, they're leading people to Christ, they're baptizing people, they're growing people. People are growing in Bill Hybels' church. People are growing at Bob Coy's church. People are growing in all these churches. These churches are packed. You'd say that they're fruitful, wouldn't you? You'd say that they had all the marks, wouldn't you? successful, if you looked at the outward, successful, fruitful ministries, but inside, decaying, decaying spiritual life. All the looks of the outward growth, right? But inside, some of these people, they're just there to fleece the flock. Did you know that in the United States, we employ 1,800 people to inspect fruits and vegetables? That's all they do. That's all they do. They stand at the borders and they check everything that's coming in. They stand at the docks and they inspect everything coming in. They do random checks at all the different supermarkets. They inspect fruit and vegetables. But if you really consider all the amounts of fruit and vegetable that we eat constantly and that we import constantly, that is an underwhelming number, isn't it? To only hire 1,800 people. Most of our food is not even grown locally. Most of the food that you're eating at your table, 57% of fresh fruit, and 31% of your vegetables are imported. These fruit inspectors are looking out for our best interests, aren't they? Because bad produce can produce sickness and even death. It's estimated that 48 million people a year get sick from bad produce. Salmonella. Dysentery, all the different things that could come just from eating like salad. And we think we're doing ourselves good, right? For those of you that are totally against salads and fruit and vegetables, you can get sick from meat too, okay? So before you go around saying, well, from now on, I'm a meatitarian, have a healthy balance, okay? 128,000 people are hospitalized per year because of vegetables and fruit. And a further 3,000 people die every year because of tainted fruit. You would think we could spot bad fruit, couldn't you? I mean, you go to the grocery store and you pick up some strawberries and you look at them, and if they're green, I'm not going to eat it, right? I'm not going to buy it. If you pick up a watermelon and it's yellow, obviously you don't want that watermelon. If you have a zucchini inside your fridge and it's no longer green, you're not going to eat that zucchini, are you? Come on, guys, follow along with me, are you? Some of you guys are going, is it supposed to be green? I didn't know that. But the problem is not in the eye test, especially when it comes to the fruits and vegetables, because what's taking place today that make people sick is they're taking the watermelons, and instead of, you know, it being just a regular watermelon, they're injecting it with red dyes that are toxic to your body. So when you cut open the watermelon, it looks completely ripe and ready and juicy and good to eat. They pick the strawberries green, and they spray it with a chemical, so as it's coming across the borders to our tables, it's already red and ripened. But the chemicals that they spray on it aren't good for you, they're toxic. They're spraying our spinach and our lettuce so it preserves and stays longer, but the stuff that they're spraying it with is bad for you and can eat at your lining of your stomach. Think of all those different things that are making you sick, and you would never know about it by looking at the fruits and vegetables, right? It tastes the part. It looks the part, it feels the part, it smells the part, but it's not good. And we only have 1,800 people looking out for our best interests and testing out the fruit that looks, tastes, and smells the way it should. And this is true in our spiritual life in the same way that it's true in our physical life. Other than rotten apples, which we can always tell rotten apples, can't we? That show completely their bad intentions. how do we know what spiritually good truly looks like? How do we know if teachers, pastors, bands, singers, writers, the books that we're getting, speakers, are truly good if they're masking themselves behind the fruit, or if the fruit looks fantastic? Maybe the band's playing before a packed house, but just recently, one of the bigger bands, the pastor, the lead singer came out and said, "Hey, you know what? I just don't believe in Jesus anymore, but I want to still sing." So how do we know if the person is legit, if everything looks the part? How do we know? Well, the answer is not going to be the FDA. And then the answer, if we're not truly looking, is not going to be found in the litmus test. The answer is going to be found in you and your personal growth and study of God's Word. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I want us to focus in on two little verses. Verses 10 and 11. I have verse 11 presented to you. Verses 10 and 11, Acts chapter 17. It says this: "The brethren immediately sent Paul out and Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." You see, what's taking place here is the Bereans were a group of people that when they heard something, they didn't just take it at its face value. They didn't just look at Paul and Silas and their fruit and saying, "You know what? They have lots of followers. They have to be legit." They didn't just look at Paul and Silas and see them baptizing people and having lots of people trust Christ and say, "Yes, they obviously know what they're saying." No, what did these people do? It says that they studied the Word of God daily. And whatever was taught to them, what did they do? They went home to make sure that it was so. They were eager to grow. They were excited about their faith, but they were protective of their personal growth in Christ. They lived the Bible and they made it part of their daily life, that whenever they heard someone teach, they looked to see if it was so. The answer is to take their example in our lives, to make it a personal challenge that everything we hear, everything we see, we run it by the filter of Scripture every single time. Amen? The Bible tells us the only changes we can make in our lives is going to come through what? Through Scripture. Romans 12, 2. There's always a reference to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 coming. Anytime I'm up here, you guys know it's going to be so. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that transformation comes through the Scripture and the renewing of our mind. You only get that through God's Word. The entire book of James talks about changing ourselves by the Word of God, and that if you look at the Word of God and you're not changed by the Word of God, then you're a person that is just handcuffed to your old lifestyle. It says to become an effectual doer rather than paroligzomai, staying put. The only way to change our life, our lifestyle, is by being in God's Word. Amen? The only way to decipher truth from a lie is by studying God's Word. Amen? Amen. So what should we have with us and be thinking about all the time? David said, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and the light of my path." The Word of God only. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:15, our Awana main verse. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Why are you not ashamed? Because you're not falling for false fruit. You accurately handle the word of truth. Be ready, get ready, make sure that nothing is overlooked. You want your life to be God-approved. What does that mean? It's like the FDA and USDA stamp, isn't it? Some people, they go to the store and that's what they're looking for. You know, that gives them this reassurance that at least this has been inspected. This fruit has had a fruit inspector, right? In my house, it's the non-GMO label and the organic label. As long as that's there, we know that this is at least clean enough to eat. And it gives you this reassurance that somebody has done the task of looking out. And Scripture says that the only way to get that assurance and that approval is by being in the Word of God yourself. Amen? So what should we do? Listen to only what the pastor says, right? No. Listen to only what 89.7, or what they used to call 89.7 WMCU, right? Now it's The Call and Life FM and all those different ones. K-Love. Listen to only what they say, right? No. Listen to what the Word of God says. The word diligent is the word spudazzo. And it means to be earnest about it, to convey the quickness that you're going about it, that you're rushing to check what you're hearing matches up to what you're seeing in the Word of God. Be diligent to present yourself. It speaks of intensity, and it's followed by action. Brothers and sisters, we need to be active in the Word of God to show ourselves approved, that the things that we're hearing are truly what we're reading. Anybody can get up and say, I had a word from God. But we got to see if what they're saying matches up to the truth of God. Amen? Knowing how to live, act, talk, work, and relate to God's word, and how it applies to our life, our everyday life. We are to demonstrate a zealous persistence to accomplish Scripture. Do your utmost for His highest. Amen. Let it be what holds you together. Let it be what pulls you in times for wisdom. What you go to for wisdom. What you go to for knowledge. Where you go when you're grieving, where you go when you're excited, what you're looking for love, what you're looking for persistence, what you're looking for joy and inspiration, for pains and for sorrows. This right here is your daily vitamins. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'd go there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Taking a look at verses 21 and 22, Paul writes this. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every kind of evil. You see, the filtering process is what Paul's talking about here. Everything that is true, keep inside you. Everything that matches up to the Word of God, hold on to it. But everything else, you can just let it pass through the filter. Because it's worthless. And you don't need to hold on to it. To stay away from false teaching, to keep ourselves from failing and falling in life to sin, or to keep ourselves from a life unpleasing to God, doing what's wrong, we need to test what we hear and examine it to Scripture, examine it to the Bible. Amen? You're God's FDA. You're God's USDA. You're God's organic stamp. But you're not just a fruit inspector in the way that a lot of people like to do. You know, Scripture isn't talking about looking at the fruit of a person and saying that person's a believer or not. None of the people that we talked about in the beginning, none of those pastors that failed, would I be bold enough to say they were never saved. Because everybody deals with sin. Everybody deals with temptations in life. And none of us could ever say, just because this person fell, that they were never saved. And that's the temptation of becoming fruit inspectors as Christians, is we look at that and we say, you know what, they were never saved. Or you know what, not enough fruit, they never were saved. You know, that when is enough enough? It really is never enough, right? If we're really looking at it. And Scripture is not telling us to look at people's fruit as a means to their salvation. What it's talking about is authenticity of the message. Jesus warned that people would come in and they would try to trick people into following the man rather than following the man, Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of people coming in and sneaking into the flock, sneaking into the church, and then teaching a false message to draw away people in the last days. And the only way to detect a false teacher is by being in the Word of God yourself, by studying it, by reading it, by looking at one text in comparison to another. Because God's Word never contradicts itself. Listen to Jesus' warning in Matthew chapter 7, which is our main chapter and verse today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Jesus says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." In this passage, Jesus says, there will be false talkers. There will be false prophets. There will be people claiming to be from God, meaning talking for God. And if you're not prepared, you'll fall victim and prey to what they're trying to do. The problem is he says they actually pass the test. They look the part. He says you look out and they look like a sheep, but they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, a lot of times we see the picture, you know, of the you know, wolf wearing a sheepskin, and we're like, oh yeah, I'd never fall for that. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying they have actually masked their identity to match everybody else. They're the ones holding up holy hands next to you, singing just as loud as you. They've been sprayed with the chemicals, injected with the poisons. And the only way to get past this is by what they're teaching, saying, preaching. In fact, in verse 15, he says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look the part. They sound the part. They look like a good teacher. They sound like a good teacher. But it's all falseness. It's deceptive. Verse 16 to 19, he says, looking at their fruit, they have fruit. But it's not good fruit for you to eat. You shouldn't be eating it. You shouldn't be taking it. Just like in the garden, wasn't the fruit good to eat? Didn't Eve look at it and say, wow, it looks good? But it was what God didn't want them to eat. And when she saw that it was good to behold and that it could make one's stomach feel great, right? I'm no longer hungry. I just ate it. She took it and ate it. And Jesus isn't saying that this doesn't taste good. He's not saying that it doesn't look the part. He's just saying that it's bad fruit. It's bad for you. It doesn't produce in you what God's trying to do in your life. How many times do we go on TV and we see billionaires that have no association with Christ giving money to charity? Right? Isn't that a good fruit? If you'd look at that, you'd say, oh man, that's so great. You know, Bill Gates giving $1 billion to, you know, India. Right? And we'd say, that's fantastic. He's such a good person. But being a good person doesn't get you to heaven, does it? No. Listen, false teachers may have a church packed with tens of thousands. They may have financial success and book upon book written all about different ways that God wants to bless you and help you in life. But if it doesn't match up to the word of Jesus Christ, then is it truly good? No. It doesn't get the pass of approval from God, and it is not going to help you in life. And that's what Jesus is trying to get here too. He's saying, hey, look, they even sound the part. He says in verse 21 that they look at Jesus and they say, Lord, Lord, right? But really they don't know him. And he says, I don't know you either. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says that people will accumulate for themselves people that are like this. Why? Because they want the approval of what they're doing to be good. And we see that today. We see that today. Look, churches should accept every type of sinner. We should accept, and I want you to hear me, you can quote me on this. Churches need to accept every type of sinner. It doesn't matter what that their pet peeve sin is. But we should not accept any type of sin and every type of sin. Church is not here to give a stamp of approval for sinning, but a stamp of approval for sinners. Why? Because we should care that they are dying and not knowing Jesus. So that doesn't mean that we accept everything that they're doing, because Jesus did not do that. Jesus would look at the drunk on the street and say, stop drinking. But let me tell you what I'm about to do for you. The woman at the well, Jesus didn't say, it's okay that you're sleeping around and that you're doing bad things and you're going around taking other women's husbands. No, what did he do? He looked and he confronted her sin, but he embraced the sinner. Brothers and sisters, that is what church should do. But today, from the pulpit, people are going ahead and changing God's word and saying that it's totally acceptable. People are going up and teaching against God's word and saying, hey, look, God wants everybody to be accepted and all their sin to be accepted. Listen, by accepting sin doesn't mean that you love people. Caring about where they're going eternally shows that you love people. And that's what Christ wants us to do in being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us how to truly test. It's not based on your eyes. It's based on your ears. It's based on what you hear and what you've personally studied and know to be true based on God's word. Amen? The corresponding passage to Matthew chapter 7 is actually Matthew chapter 12. So if you would, just go ahead and go there. Matthew chapter 12, looking at verses 33 to 37, Jesus is talking about this same idea of fruit and badness and the false teachers. He says this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? What were the Pharisees quoting? They're actually quoting Scripture, by the way. But they're taking it completely out of context, and they're trying to attack Jesus with it. Isn't that what Satan did as well when he was tempting Jesus? He would take passages of Scripture, oh, why don't you jump down from this high building, and if you worship me, and if you do all these things, I'm going to give you. You're not going to have to die on the cross, Jesus. I know that you don't want to die on the cross. I know that it's going to be painful, and you're not looking forward to that pain. So you know what? If you go ahead and just worship me, or if you go ahead and throw yourself down, if you do any of these things, if you make the food out of these rocks, I will give it to you, and you won't have to fight for it. You won't have to die for it. And he quotes, right? Oh, because it says in Scripture that he's not going to let his Holy One's foot even be harmed and touch the ground. And Jesus says, no, Satan, don't misquote Scripture to me. For it says, you will not test the Lord your God. And that's what they're doing here. They're misquoting. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out good treasure, what is good. And the evil man brings out his evil treasure, what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that is spoken, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You see, the fruit of a teacher, according to Scripture, is not the size, is not the amount, is not the success. It's whether they're teaching the Word of God accurately. Whether they're teaching it undefiled. Whether they're teaching it truthfully. If a person is a teacher, if they're known as a prophet, as one that speaks for God, however you want to define that today, if they're known for teaching, if they're known for writing for God, it's based on whether they're doing it accurately and truthfully. That is the fruit. It's not the success. It's not going to be the people led to the Lord. Because you know what? God says, I don't let my word go out in vain. Look, if he could speak through, you know, the donkey, right? Balaam's donkey. He can speak through broken vessels as well, okay? I come before you every week as a broken vessel. So I know it to be true. So it's not about those things. It's about whether, just like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, the person is showing themselves approved through the Word of God, accurately handling the Word of truth. Amen? Amen. So what does that mean for us? If the wolf in sheep's clothing is known by their words, if a bad tree is known by the bad fruit that comes through the mouth, right, and it's not matching up to Scripture, then it makes sense that we should be going, just as the Bereans, to the Word of God to make sure that we're washing those vegetables many times over. Amen? That we're going to the tree to make sure that, hey, you know what? This is my tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me make sure that what that person is trying to feed me as good fruit is truly good fruit. Jesus said God's word is pure. So if his believers and followers want to stay pure, what should we be doing? Staying in his word. In fact, John 17:17, one of his prayers is he said, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. He's saying, I want you to be washed. I want you to wash them by the Word. Which means we need to be in the Word, to be washed by the Word. The way to follow Jesus isn't going to be by following a person. The way to follow Jesus, yes, you should be in a church that is teaching the Word of God. But it's not going to be by following the pastor. It's going to be by taking what the pastor says and deciphering it through the Bible. It's going to be taking the songs that you hear and the words that you read by an author and deciphering it through God's truth. And you take the good and you let the bad just pass right through. Be a disciple of His by being in His Word and studying it and practicing it. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said this. He was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you truly are disciples of mine. I want to break that down just for a second. He was saying to the Jews that had believed in him, if they believed in him, they have salvation, because in John 6, 47, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has everlasting life. They already have everlasting life. They believed. But Jesus said, if you truly want to be a follower, a disciple, a learner of mine, you must stay in my word. Brothers and sisters, if you want to follow Jesus, you need to read your Bible. If you want to be a learner of his, applying and living, you need to be in his word. He continues on, verse 32, and you will know the truth. Why? Because you've been in the truth. And the truth will make you free. It makes you free because every time somebody comes and tries to contradict Scripture, oh, you know what? You need to be circumcised to be a believer. You need to be baptized to be a believer. You shouldn't eat pork if you're going to be a believer. Well, we go to what Scripture says, and we see the freedom that we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. I want to end with this. When the FBI and CIA is training their people to spot fake currency, you know what they do? They don't take a whole bunch of fakes and show them the different details of the fake. They don't try to show them the different bad inks and the different fake dollars that are out there. They don't try to take them into a room full of fake currency, because that's nearly impossible, because every day people are developing better and stronger ways to get closer to the original, right? So it makes sense that if you have a fake, there's a new fake that's already been made, so you're already behind the eight ball. So what they do is they take them and sit them in a room full of the real stuff. They show them how it's made. They have them smell it. They have them taste it. They have them just sit there and feel it. They teach them how the real thing is. They don't teach them the fake thing. They teach them the real thing. Why? Because when you know the real, the fake is obvious. Brothers and sisters, that's the same with the Word of God. Be in it. Feel it. Act upon it. Live upon it. So when that fake comes around, it's obvious. Amen.
Thank you for joining the Transform 365 podcast, a ministry dedicated to helping you grow in relationship to Christ. If you want to know more, find us at transform365.com or on our church website, www.swcc.org, located in Miami, Florida. Until next time, remember, the only work in grace is to let grace work in you. God bless.